Hi, everybody. We're back with another edition of the MPFT podcast. My name is Mark Fletcher from the Trust Communications team, and I'm delighted to be joined today by early intervention support worker Neil Woodhouse from MPFT and Matt Morris, a senior employment specialist with Enable in Shropshire and Telford and Wrekin. Unemployment rates are often high for people with mental health issues, and the road to a new job can feel overwhelming. Within Shropshire and Telford and Wrekin, the Trust is working with Specialist Mental Health Employment Support Service, Enable, to support people to find work suited to their interests and skills. How are you, gentlemen? Are you both okay?
Yes, thank you. Good to be on.
Yeah, all good.
So, Neil, I'll start with you if I may. I'd like to understand first, I think our listeners would be benefit from understanding why employment is such an important aspect of a person's mental health recovery.
Okay, yeah. As from experience over the many years I've been doing this role, we've most often found that it can improve the person's self-esteem, gives them back their identity as such. It brings some daily normality to their life and structure in terms of getting them out and working and maybe other people being reliant on them attending a job. We found that it certainly helped people establish new friendships and been able to engage in more social things once in a team. It's clear that it's lessened mental distress in terms of improving the chances of this particular person relapsing. Also, the most obvious thing that we do get from a lot of clients is obviously about money. So whether they're in a paid employment, obviously they're being paid, which again is beneficial to their everyday life. It gives them the benefit to enjoy certain things and to be able to interact with friends outside of work. Yeah, really, it sounds quite simple, but it can be quite challenging, obviously, for someone that's experienced mental health in their life.
Sure.
But it is clear people do most definitely benefit from re-engaging back into employment. We do kind of have it as one of our standards now that if possible and when possible, we do try to get this person working again.
And just to carry on that theme of what you were just saying there, Neil. So
yeah.
I mentioned a little earlier on that Enable, the MPFT works with Enable in Shropshire and Telford and Wrekin. So I assume therefore that the Trust will then refer somebody on to Enable. I'll come to you in a second, Matt, to pick up on that. But so in terms of just quickly talk about how that referral process is made, because I'm assuming that the individual is willing and able and happy and wishes to be referred into Enable to get that support.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, once and when they're on early intervention's caseload, it is discussed with them quite early on their views on returning to possibly paid work, voluntary work, or further education. If they feel that they're able and wanting, we do then make a referral to Enable via electronically now. It used to be a paper copy, but electronically now through an email to Roof, Enable's manager, and then it's then in the hands of Enable who they allocate and when.
And then, thank you, Neil. So, Matt, okay. Sort of transitioning there to yourself. Could you talk about how, once that referral is made, how Enable then works with the Trust to help service users to enter employment or return to work?
Yeah, so when we get that referral form, we're keen to get in touch with the client that we're to support into work. And I think Neil summed it up really well, really. They have the conversation early on regarding work, because work is massive. It's a massive part of our life and our well-being and our identity. And so the early intervention team will have a conversation early on, and it's whether or not that person wants to find work, because that's essentially the criteria for us to start working with somebody, is for somebody who is motivated, not like Mr. Motivator or anything like that, but wants to work, because it's all about that person feeling ready and wants to work, because it's been proven that if somebody has that desire to work, then that's the predictor of success rather than diagnosis or any other factor, really. If that person has a desire to work, then it's all about managing barriers, which is where we come in. Well, there's a few different teams that enable, but my specific team is the IPS team. Sorry about the acronym, but IPS stands for Individual Placement and Support. And it is what it says on the tin, really. It's an individualized approach governed by that person's preferences as to what they want to do, the hours they want to work, the context of their situation. It's a place then train model. It works quite rapidly, you see. We're keen to get people into, we're keen to work with somebody as rapidly as we can because we don't want that motivation to wane. So rather than putting somebody on a lengthy work readiness program or a really long training course, we're very much focused on paid employment because that's what that's where the person wants to get to. So it's, working a way around the various barriers that can stop that person finding that work.
Can I just add something? Matt. Obviously, we say about the referral process. Obviously, it is dependent on the client's mental state at the time, but we also, as a team, can support the client with Enable. So we can do joint meetings. So I can support if they feel that they need myself or another support or care coordinator with them while they initially meet the Enable person. But it's... Yeah. The option is the clients, if they feel able to meet on their own, then great. Yeah. If not, we can continue to support as long as this takes, really.
Yeah, and that's really the beauty of a model like this is because our worker, which Matt, wasn't it? Another Matt, is very much integrated into the team, which is so important, really. He'll attend weekly meetings, be able to, they could set up joint meetings to give the whole process the best possible start. He's updating Neil and the other workers as to progress, and it's that communication really which helps it along. So I wouldn't really give the impression that we get a referral, then it's over to us and we're off doing our thing. It's very much
joint partnership.
Which is brilliant. And a team like Early Intervention, it's so embedded in what they do. It works beautifully, really. And we see the results all the time.
I was going to ask about that, actually, because I had assumed that it wasn't necessarily a case that an individual is in then the hands of Enable and then they are receiving no more care from MPFT. I assume that whilst Enable is supporting the individual, you or your team would then continue to help that individual with their recovery.
But that's right. Yeah, obviously. When we have, like Matt said, the previously Matt, who attended as our kind of rep, we've now got a new person, Sean. Which already I've been out on a visit with and established a relationship with a client that wants to return to work. But yeah, I think from a personal point of view, I think we class now over the last 4 or 5 years, Enable are part of our team, whichever individual that is. And again, like Matt said, it's not just structured, here's the job, you're with Enable, thank you very much. We like to hear the progress of what the clients have made. Also, in the past, I know we've had the benefit of an Enable rep informing us if they had any concerns about the individual's mental health. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of another contact that we can then look at and pick up. But it's clearly a team approach, and I think we're just one team as such, really.
Yeah, absolutely, which is only going to help the service user at the end of the day, really, by having that's kind of tied up approach, that holistic approach. Works really well.
Would I be right in saying that Enable would have, in order for helping individuals into work, that they would have connections with employers locally who are wishing to actually support workers into work? Is that how that works? That's
one of it. It's a big part of what we do is engaging employers, and I suppose what we're doing is we are kind of, we've got three customers, if you like. We're integrating with the clinical team. We're engaging with employers, and the person we're supporting is right at the middle of everything we do. the way we approach employers and we get employers on board, we're not a recruitment agency as such. We haven't got a pot of jobs, or we're not looking to fill Tesco's down the road. And
yeah, so it's not like a job centre approach.
That's not our approach. Because the best way we can help somebody is finding those hidden jobs, you know, leveling the playing field for that person, really, who needs the support. So what we do, and it's a big part of what we do, is go out and engage with employers directly. We're led by the preferences of a client. So we're interested in what that client wants to do, because it is individualized. So we'll go out knocking on doors and speaking to employers for the kind of jobs that that person wants to get into. So the idea is the IPS specialist, the employment specialist, will get to know the employers in their area and develop relationships with those employers, find the supportive employers, and have, you know, conversations with them and take the time to develop those relationships, which is always, again, being proven the best way to get people into work. We would speak to the employer and perhaps negotiate a joint interview or a work trial, which will get the best out of the person at the interview stage, or seeing how trying to find creative ways to work with the employer. Because once we get somebody into a job, we don't just say goodbye. We're there to provide the ongoing support and to make sure that person's happy and healthy in the job, which if the client is happy for us to do so, because we're also governed by their feelings on disclosure, we can have those conversations with employers. If somebody's struggling in the workplace, for instance, we have to contact the employer, have a meeting, see if something can be negotiated on their part, act as an advocate in terms of workplace adjustments, or trying to find ways where that person will be happy and healthy in the job and be able to sustain that work. So it's more about getting to know the employers on your patch and developing relationships, rather than more traditional kind of recruitment agency approach.
I'd be interested to get an understanding from you, both of you, actually, about how you've helped somebody. If you can provide an example of someone who's, through the work that yourselves have done together, has kind of made a difference to someone's life and led to a positive outcome, so they are in a much better statement from a mental health perspective, but also in stable employment. So would you be able to provide us an example of individual that you've helped to support?
Do you want me to go, Matt, or do we want discuss it together? Obviously, we've got a young lady recently that's got back into work, and she's had a first episode of psychosis, and she had a short admission in the Redwoods. So obviously her mood and her point in life was a bit up and down. But I think there was a lot of work done by yourselves and obviously are the care coordinator of this lady in preparing her for work, and that, you know, in terms of having meetings, joint meetings with the employer, joint meetings with the person in question. It's just giving them that initial support and then establishing what fits best for the individual, really, through herself and through her employers, and just moving forward that way, isn't it?
I know that the person you're speaking of, she had a very responsible job, you know, as a team leading role, and of course is struggling with this first episode of psychosis, which had a huge impact, of course. And I remember it being it was a lovely piece of work, actually, because it all happened quite quickly from our point of view when the individual's concerns were expressed, because she's off work and, you know, it's a scary thought going back into work with no support. Yeah. And of course, that individual's not sure how she'll be received when she goes back to work, what things, if anything, will be put in place, the understanding of the employer. You're kind of second guessing a lot of things there, which isn't going to give a great start to a return to work. They had a good chat about it, and Matt was able to respond very quickly and get in touch with the individual. And then it was all about putting the plan together, really. And I think Matt met with that employer on the same day in the afternoon and attending a well-being meeting. So it happened quite quickly, but it was really, really effective, because I know the employer's concerns, they didn't know how to support somebody with mental health, or, you know, the fear was an enduring mental health condition that they were having to support. You know, it's a big thing for an employer, really. So it helps to have that somebody as a bit of a go-between, support the meetings, but also can draw upon that clinical support.
You know, look, I've got a little entry from Tina, the care coordinator at the time, but they obviously had joint meetings and regular discussions with Matt and with young lady's employer, and it's just that continual support. I think we must stress it's not just any job. You do support whatever level of job it is. It's, you know, it's not just, I say just, but it's not a job at the supermarket. It can vary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
From many years ago, a past experience of working with a headmaster, and he was obviously struggling with his mental health and obviously trying to establish himself back into work. And again, I think we had some input from Enable to sort of set some boundaries and some sort of structure up for him to return, which it's a huge thing for these people. It's, you know, it's their identity.
Yes, that's a nice point, actually, because it's worth reminding ourselves that this can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter what job you were doing previously, or maybe you are having previously worked and wish to get back into work. And we all know how overwhelming that can be for whether you have a mental health issue or not. Moving into a new job or starting work, it could be incredibly overwhelming because you just don't know what to expect. And likewise, with an employer, there's some understandable kind of issues that may arise from them whereby they don't know what they're getting into, and they want to get that support. So the fact that support is there from yourselves, I think, is enormous, really, in terms of helping both the employer and obviously the individual to sort of move forward.
Just add one point, Mark. I think you know, looking, it's been evident looking back on our caseload that the majority of people that we've referred to Enable and or not referred, obviously the ones that have independently gone out and got themselves a job have quite often or not struggled in that job, and it's not really worked out. Whereas people that have been referred and have been continuously supported in that role have gone on to further their career and also maintain their mental health. So it's clearly evident that support in work support does help.
Yeah, because it is ongoing, because as I said, the journey doesn't stop when somebody goes into work. You know, we support people certainly in the short term and to empower that person in the role. And if people struggle further down the line, then they can get back in touch. So, it's all about working with that person's aspirations. I think you make a good point that it could be any kind of job. Anybody can be struggling with mental health. Yeah, and then, but wanting that person to further their career and being there, you know, for that journey. I mean, for the sake of a bit of managing those barriers or for the sake of that bit of support, I mean, to see people thrive is, like you say, it's massive. It's somebody's identity. Yeah. It's a big part of somebody's, you know, day to day. It's the first question you ask somebody, isn't it? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, indeed. Yeah. And that leads me in nicely into my final question about because I'd be interested for both of you to give me a sense of what this means to you both, and I'd appreciate your work in teams, but as individuals, kind of what the impact that helping somebody who is in a fragile mental state to then have the self-confidence and the ability to then seek and get a job and then hopefully to remain in that job and to thrive in it. What that means to yourselves in terms of the personal satisfaction that you get both professionally and personally from that. Matt, I'll start with you on that if I can.
Okay, sure. It is massive. Of course, we get to do all the positive stuff. You know, you will meet somebody on that first meeting and they have no direction. They're not sure. They want to work, but they don't know how to go about it. Or to see when somebody finds that job and they move into work, And it's not easy. Yeah, people have their knockbacks and we have to help in terms of resilience. And, you know, we want people to find real jobs and it's a real journey. But when somebody does go into work, that you see that person grow a couple of inches and it makes such a difference to their lives. I mean, I'm sure we all know what it's like to be in the wrong job. So I feel I am in a very privileged position, really, to be able to help people get things right. And that work is so important to your identity, and it's, you know, it's a recovery goal for a lot of people. And to be able to support that, it feels massive. And I, like I say, I'm a team leader, so I see the work that the team do, and they get a lot of satisfaction from it as well, which is good to see, or good to feel that you're making a practical difference to people's lives and helping people move forward. Oh, I mean, the job satisfaction is huge. Really, we love it.
And Neil, I assume that everything Matt's just said there chimes quite loudly with yourself.
Yeah, obviously, I'll second that. You know, we see these people a little bit before, you know, they will return to work. So obviously we get them at certain levels in their lives. So that sort of majority of the time, it is the final part of going back to work, whether that's full time, part time, even voluntary, you know, just the lift that gives that person and the benefits, I think, not just for them working, but I think it gives them a better relationship with their families, with their friends. It just, as Matt said, it lifts them, and you feel quite honored that they've trusted you to be part of that journey. You know, I've got a young man at the moment that's was very poorly not so long ago, and he's working full time, but I'm still getting regular text messages from him saying how well he is, how thankful he is. And, you know, it does, it's quite, say quite, it's very rewarding. Long may it continue.
So that's it for this edition of the MPFT podcast. You can subscribe and listen to previous episodes by searching for the MPFT podcast via the usual platforms. It just leaves it to myself to say thank you very much to Neil and Matt for joining me today, and to also thank you for listening. Thank you.